I mean, you even had Peterson talking about how he talked to Barry Bonds last night. So just a Barry whispers some sweet nothings into his ear, and all of a sudden, crack, 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 three home runs. Not a bad night at all. Are we ready to go with our good friend Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1? Oh, my goodness. It's time for his annual mea culpa about the Golden State Warriors. I mean, let's face it. I've known Nick for a really, really long time, going back to him just being a radio bum like me in Houston. And he was wrong about the Rockets and Harden. And then, oh, my goodness, it's the Cavaliers and LeBron, and he's trying to insist that one is greater than three. It is not. Kevin Durant left. They'll never go back. They'll never win another. It's got to be Andrew Wiggins. Worst decision of all time. They're a win away from another NBA Finals appearance over a team that I think he predicted would sweep. I love you, Nick Wright. How are you, man?
All right, this son of a gun. I almost cursed. Hi, Damon. Hi, Ray. Hi, whoever else is there to help carry Damon's sorry ass through 4 hours of radio.
Three. Get a better agent.
They've cut your show down. I would have cut it down to 30 minutes. I just want to make
it
very clear here. Two things. First of all, in a few minutes, you might hear a little background noise. You might even hear me saying something not to you. That's because just to get through this interview, I have to walk to my local bodega and buy a couple Lucy cigarettes. That's how much you stress me out. That's first of all. Second of all, I want to say this. This idea that I owe any mea culpas for anything, for being the only man in America with the guts and the foresight to say the Dallas Mavericks could get even this far, much less maybe win the series. This series is not over, is an outrage. And I would expect more from you, my alleged friend. And the last point I want to make is this. As much as I dislike Damon Bruce, I do want the audience to know, because he said, he once was a humble radio guy like me. I may have, in a time of weakness and stupidity, set Damon Bruce up with an interview to become a television talking head like myself. And you know what he said? Don't want to leave San Francisco. Don't want to leave these jackass Warrior fans. So he stayed. He could have been like me on television. Lavished in money and bad takes. Instead, he stayed with you guys. So you guys be nice to him, even though I won't be. But go ahead. Hi, good to talk to you.
Oh, great to talk to you. By the way, I love how you're complaining about how inconvenient this interview is when you picked the time and the date. Literally, ball was in your court. So
I didn't think the Mavs were going to be down 3-1 when I picked it, buddy. That's what's inconvenient about it.
That's what's inconvenient.
I was lying about the background noise. And, can I get two Lucy's? Thank you. Okay, now we're ready to go.
Let's are you just picking up some Noopies there? You got some menthols? Yeah. Or are you pulling some Swisher Sweets?
No, I have two Newport 100s in my hand because I figure that's what it's going to take to get me through this interview.
But wait
you're
a minute.
Knocking me off the cigarette wagon.
Dude, you're
stress me out, man.
You are sitting there with the big TV paycheck buying Lucy's?
Well, man. But, some things are in your marrow. Some things are down in your bones.
Like being wrong about the Warriors. Like being wrong about the Warriors. How many times do they have to show you that their way of doing things, their system, has been the most dominant entity in the NBA, but for two injuries to Klay Thompson, not Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant leaving the Golden State Warriors didn't stop the dynasty. It was Klay tearing his ACL because they otherwise beat the Toronto Raptors in Game 6 and probably go back to Toronto and get Game 7. So Durant is literally getting swept out of the playoffs while Steph Curry and company are still doing their thing at a mighty fine level.
Listen, so I would, because I know your audience is going to kill me, I would like to pay tribute to Steph Curry in just a moment. However, before that, I would like to say, when you say what more do they have to do, what did, your favorite president, Donald Trump, once say? I like guys who don't get captured. I do typically like teams that don't miss the playoffs in consecutive years, which the Warriors did right after the Andrew Wiggins acquisition. So that take was looking golden.
All right, so Steph Curry didn't play one of those years, but, let's just overlook that.
Back-to-back years missing the playoffs. I mean, it's not great. However, now you guys are a win away from the finals. This is what I would like to say about Steph Curry. Because, once upon a time, I was called a Steph Curry hater. I was called a Steph Curry critic. I didn't like that his wife accused the league of being rigged. I didn't like that he assaulted a fan with his mouthpiece.
Oh, my God.
However, with that said, I would like to say this. I think it is undeniable that Steph Curry is one win away and maybe zero wins away. Maybe doesn't even need one more win to becoming the unequivocal second best guy of the era. Like, even the Warrior fans are not going to put Steph ahead of LeBron. I don't want to have a Steph-LeBron argument. That's not what I'm trying to do. But going into this year, I do think Steph versus Durant was a real debate. And going into 2 weeks ago, I think Steph versus Durant versus Giannis was going to become a real debate if Giannis had won the title this year. Then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, boy, Giannis is, you know, kind of just run roughshod over the league for two straight years. But given the fact that Giannis, even if it wasn't on him, they lost. And given the fact that Durant got swept in round one this year, and Steph, I still don't think this Warriors team is a great team. Because Clay has the highest approval rating of anyone in the league, and he should. He's the most likable superstar, once superstar in the league. But he's not the same guy he was. And it makes me sad because it's not his fault that it's injury. Jordan Poole is the traffic cone that Patrick Beverley tried to make Chris Paul out to be. And Draymond Green celebrates every shot he makes like it's a game-winning jump shot because he's so shocked he made it.
I mean, it is cause for celebration.
Yeah. Yet despite that, the Warriors are a win away from the finals. The Warriors have lost. How many games have they lost this postseason? Four? Five? It's not many. Whatever it is. And Steph Curry is the... And now, Looney's been great in this series, and Wiggins has been way better than I ever thought he would be. But Steph Curry is making an argument that of the last 50 years of basketball, he's, you know, right behind Shaquille O'Neal and Dr. J, or maybe ahead of one of them, for that 10, 11, 12, 13 spot. And it's remarkable how he's aged, and it's remarkable what he's doing. So let me pay tribute to Chef Curry and then explain to you why the Mavs might still win the series.
Okay, no, hold on. We don't have enough time for that, of course. But you cannot honestly believe that the Mavericks have done anything other than extend this series. There's a big difference between extending a series and getting back into a series. Now, if the Mavericks win game five, we have something to talk about. But until they win game five, and I don't think they do, there's really nothing here to talk about.
Okay, well, here's what I think. I think that game four was instructive because the Mavs didn't roll over. The Mavs had some quotes after game three that were concerning to me. I don't know if you guys talked about
it. Oh, we did.
But
past tense and everything.
They talked about, like, how it's a building point and how it's positive and all that stuff. I didn't like those quotes. Those quotes are what you say when your season's over and their season wasn't over. So I was a little worried that they were going to just roll over, but they didn't. And I do think that you saw everyone's focused on in game four that they hit 20 threes or however many threes they hit. To me, what was more relevant was that the Warriors had 70 points through three quarters. And then I take that, and I also take the fact that the Mavs, I don't think, are scared of playing in where do you guys play now? Palo Alto? It's not Oakland anymore. You guys left your real fans. Where do you play now?
San Francisco. Sure, San Francisco, California.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. San Francisco.
It's just the greatest city on the West Coast. You can overlook it easily.
But that I don't think they're scared of playing there because they had you guys down 14 at halftime there, and then they fell apart. And the game two, likely, you know, if the Warriors win the series, you're going to look back on game two and say that was the series pivot point. With that said, I don't think it's crazy to say the Mavs will win game five. And if they win game five, oh boy, that pressure on you guys becomes immense.
The pressure might have been immense had they not hung three pelts on the wall, had they not gone to five consecutive NBA finals. I mean, this is not a team that is impressed by this stage, uncomfortable on this stage. They've been here, done that in so many different ways, Nick. And you like dismiss who they still are. I'm glad, by the way, you said Kevon Looney. I was wondering if you would even be able to, you know, name the Warriors starting center. But
give me a break. Listen, everyone's killing me, just killing me for being wrong about this series. Ostensibly wrong, not officially wrong yet, but wrong. My apologies. That I didn't think Kevon Looney.
It's one mea culpa. Told you you'd get one, everybody.
We're going to turn into Mark Eaton and Karl Malone from 1987. I'm sorry I didn't see that coming, America. Jesus Christ. They combined for 35, 17, and 6 through 70% shooting through the first three games. I didn't bake that into my analysis. I'm sorry for that. Kevon Looney is doing what Rudy Gobert and DeAndre Ayton couldn't do, which is making the Mavs pay for playing small. You're up against two centers, one of which makes $40 million, the other of which wants to make $40 million, and they couldn't make the Mavs pay for playing small. I didn't know. That's what bothers me. You guys just drip this little light years magical dust on these guys, and guys who have never been this, whether it's JaVale McGee, Andrew Wiggins, or Kevon Looney, all of a sudden are living their best lives. And I'm not going to lie, it's a little tilting.
It's called culture.
For me, a guy who has lost a lot of money betting against the Warriors, it's tilting. See, I'm like, Kevon Looney? Is he worth $14 million a year? Maybe. Like, but then he'll go somewhere else and he'll turn into Kevon Looney again. I don't like it. I really don't like it, Damon. It's frustrating.
You said somewhere along the line in this conversation, maybe about a half an hour ago, the Warriors were not a great team. And while I will agree with you about that, isn't it a fact that none of the other three teams are particularly great either? And that whoever comes out and wins this is going to be known as a not great champion?
Well, listen, I think all champions have a level of greatness because I think winning the title is so hard. But yes, I don't think that this year, I think this year that we had more really good and solid teams than almost any year I can remember. Like, you know, I'll use a random example. The Cleveland Cavaliers didn't end up even being a playoff team. And there were times this year you're like, damn, they're good. And they couldn't even make the playoffs. Now they dealt with injuries. So I think what we saw this year was almost a flattening of the curve, so to speak. I don't think there was a great team in the NBA this year. The alleged great team was the Suns, but I never believed in them. I don't know if you guys did or not. I thought they were good, but not a great team. And so, but listen, titles, you know, I don't know who first said it, but banners hang forever. And if the war, listen, if you guys win one more game, Steph, and I don't know if you've talked about this, I've talked about this quite a bit, Steph, the list of guys who have won a league MVP and shown up in six finals are the following. And I'm doing this off the top of my head while smoking a cigarette after a couple cocktails because it's quite late on the East Coast. But I think I'm going to get it right. And, Ray, you can fact check me on this because I assume you covered all these players. Bob Cousy, Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. I believe it's nine guys who have been to six or more finals and won a league MVP. Steph's one win away from that. And with respect to, you know, Mad Dog Russo, Bob Cousy is in a different category. But those other eight guys are eight of the 10 all-time greatest. And, or eight of the 11 all-time greatest. I think Shaq's probably 11. Steph's a win away from etching his name on that list and doing it in a selfless way where he has been the centrifugal force of the whole thing. And I got nothing but respect for the guy. I got nothing but respect for the guy. And he's someone who is rooting for the Mavs and gambles on these games. Steph does still instill a level of fear unlike almost anyone else in the sport. And I just have to tip my cap to him. And he's learned and become a more than adequate defender. Because of his size, he's never going to be like a dominant defender, but he's good. And so, listen, I give him all the credit in the world. I give Damon no credit at all, And it really bothers me that he gets to, you know, ride this wave of greatness. It's not fair. He should have been a Kings fan.
We're talking to Nick Wright from a Harlem bodega where he's picked up his Lucy's and is about to have a great, great Wednesday night. I got to ask you about the other side of the bracket. Since you have no grasp of what's going on the West Coast, maybe, you know, underneath your own nose on the East Coast, you're a little bit more aware of what's going on. And I think it's a fair question. What the hell do you think is going on between the Celtics and Heat? And who do you think comes out of that?
Well, I picked Heat in seven. And when I made the pick, I said, there's going to be a game. I said this on the show. There's going to be a game the Heat score 77 points and look like the worst team in basketball. And I undershot it by five. They scored 82 and looked like just a terrible team. Here's what I think is, now listen, Tyler Hero's out tonight, and if Jimmy Butler's compromised, they're drawing dead. Jimmy Butler has to be able to be great, and he is a great playoff performer. A great playoff performer. He is, you'll like this, because you're right, I argued with you about James Harden, and I was wrong on that one. He's the bizarro James Harden. He has okay regular season numbers, and then in the last 6 years, he has five 40-point games. They've all been in the playoffs. This postseason, before the, you know, 2 games ago when he had to miss half a game and then play poorly in game four because he was hurt, he was averaging 30 points on 53% shooting. Like, he's been a great playoff performer. So Butler's a little underrated, but the other thing that happens with the Heat is this. People in basketball media overrate the importance of what a team looks like at their best and underrate the importance of consistency. So I think there are teams that, you know what, I'll use the Memphis Grizzlies as an example. The Grizzlies rolling look like, are they going to win the title? Like, they've got this great defense. Ja's the best athlete in basketball. They've got this knockdown shooter in Bane. They have all these things. But why did the Grizzlies, even if Ja was healthy, why would they probably lost the Warriors? Because their median game is not great. Their A-plus game is a 97 out of 100, but their average game is like an 86. The Heat, their A-plus game is like a 91, but their average game is like an 89. And that's how they get the one seed. That's how they made the finals 2 years ago, is they very rarely have these dreadful performances. They always fight. They always show up. So if Jimmy is healthy, I think they win the series in seven. If he's not, obviously the Celtics will win. And I just think the Celtics are in a weird spot where Tatum is, to continue that analogy a bit, Tatum's A-plus. Game six against staring Giannis down is an all-time moment. On the road against the best player in the league, he goes shot for shot, toe-to-toe with him, and beats him. But then Tatum also, it's like, he went 4-for-19 again? Like, I don't think he's reliable yet, but it won't matter if the Heat are too damaged.
How much do you think the fact that Miami and Boston are probably going to wear each other out to get somebody to the finals works in Golden State's favor, or does that make much difference to you?
Oh, no, it makes a huge difference.
It'll be the argument that he starts that Monday show with.
Wait, say that again, Damon? I didn't hear that.
It'll be the argument that you start that Monday show with. The Warriors will win a title because the other team's too tired.
No, listen. You know what? Can we be fair on something? I think you and I, in the four times the Warriors and Cavs played each other, I think you and I had the same record in predicting the finals. I think we both went 3-1. I picked the Cavs. Oh no, that's not true. I went 2-2. You went 3-1. Damn. Okay. All right. I take it back. You still have that trump card on me. That sucks. All right. But moving ahead, I don't know what I'm going to say on Monday. What I am going to say is the Heat seem really banged up, and the Celtics went through a war in round two, and it looks like they're in for a war in round three, and we'll see what happens with the Warriors series. Now, I happen to believe, everyone is just discounting the Mavericks. We've seen 3-1 comebacks. And people are, Damon, you might not be as much of a degenerate gambler as me, but I know you like a game of chance or two. If you're playing blackjack and the dealer has a 10 and you're showing a total of 6, your chances are very slim. But then if you draw a 4 and now it's a 10 against a 10, your chances have changed considerably. Everyone is still bringing up the 3-0 stats. Well, the Mavs just drew a 4. They just won a game. Now it's 3-1 stats. It's a totally different world. I don't know why everyone's writing off the Mavs. I don't think they're dead yet.
There's only 75 years of NBA history, and the experiment's been run 146 times, and it's 0 for 146. But good luck. Good luck playing those odds.
Hold on.
Good luck.
Can you say something?
Phil Hellmuth should be worried.
You just made an error because you said 0 for 146. That's true. But 90 of those 146 lost game 4. So that part of the sample is now irrelevant. Now we're to 56. We're like, oh, is there a chance for a 1 in 56 chance to come in? Maybe. Like, and then all of a sudden, like, that's what I'm saying. Everyone keeps bringing up the 3-0 stats. But it's not 3-0 anymore. It is now 3-1, and we need to adjust our eyes to that. And so that's fine. Can I make a request?
Please.
If this gets to a game 7, can I come on this show before that?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Looking forward to it, as a matter of fact.
That's so nice of you.
Absolutely.
That's really just one win away. Because we all know if it gets to a game 6, the Mavs are winning game 6 in Dallas. So I just need one win.
Yeah, I mean,
I just need the Mavs.
The Warriors, who have won 26 consecutive series winning a road game, and they've already won one in Dallas. There's no way that they could possibly win game 6 back in Dallas. Look, we're up against it. You know how radio works. Okay. You're a brilliant whatever it is at what you are. I will tell you that, sir. I will tell you that, and that is a true compliment. And, you know, on the way, let me give another true compliment. Two of my favorite guys in sports media are Nick Wright, for whatever reason, still haven't quite figured it out, Ethan Sherwood Strauss, and I loved the back and forth that you guys had on his podcast, and you brought up Radio Ethan, and it was a really good back and forth between two guys who know where a lot of bodies are buried. I know you got a podcast that you're doing with your son. Tell us about it. You get to plug it once, and then go hit your Lucy's.
Okay, yeah. So What's Right with Nick Wright, it's on YouTube. It's on wherever you get your podcasts. If you would like to hear my non-sports stuff, there's a little bit of that there, and I would have, listen, here's the deal. I'm going to whisper this part of it. I don't need you to actually listen to it. Just subscribe to it. They haven't figured out if you listen or not. They just know if I have subscribers. So right now, on your fancy iPhones that were made a block from your house in your guys' fancy downtown San Francisco palaces that you all live in, I'm sure, just open up the podcast app, type in What's Right with Nick Wright, click subscribe, and never think about me again. And if you do that, then I'll keep coming on Damon's show for free, the only radio show I go on in America without getting a hefty appearance fee, mind you, because I oddly like this idiot. And it'll allow me to keep doing that. That's all. Thanks. Ray, anything I can ever do for you, I will gladly do for free. Damon, I'll talk to you before game 7.
Oh, yeah, bank on it. Thank you very much. Nick Wright, a tour de force performance here on 95.7 The Game.
It's a parrot with Tourette's.
That is good stuff all the way around. When we come on back, we're going to give you, are we getting close to another chance to give away Game 2 tickets? So stay tuned. Listen for the new word this hour that will grant you Game 2 tickets. We're going to give it to you next here on 95.7 The Game. We are brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Stay tuned. Pair a chance to win two tickets to Game 5, not Game 2 tickets. I'll get it right. Nick Wright here on 95.7 The Game. How about that?
Now back to Damon and Ratto. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
All right, a chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 5 right here and now. Text the word tickets. How original. Tickets to 20357, the word tickets to 20357, and you could be winning a pair of tickets to Game 5 tomorrow night, the Western Conference Finals at Chase Center. And remember, you can get your playoff tickets at warriors.com. Ray, as we were saying with Nick, and by the way, I hope you get that. The good listener out there. I hope you understand what that is, that interaction. And if you are a little confused by it, well, that's part of the trick too, I guess. But there's a little magicianship going on there with Nick Wright, and it's why he is on a big platform. He's good at what he does. People love to hate Nick Wright, and we consume what we hate more than even what we like. And that's why he's an incredibly successful guy. Someone saying, that's fantastic radio right there. I agree. I think that's good stuff. I hope you do too. Ray, how'd you feel about it? Indifferent as always?
Not indifferent, but I was watching a train wreck. And so I was just admiring the height of the explosions.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed. I'm glad you enjoyed the mushroom cloud that is the annual appearance.
The two of you.
The Mea Culpa show. Oh, I don't think I'm responsible for that mushroom cloud, Ray. That's coming from New York.
No, you're standing there with a box of matches and then wondering why the barbecue grill blew up.
Flipping the matches.
Parrot with Tourette's.
Anyway, look, we have just a short segment here to get back on our clock. We went long with Nick, and some of you are asking, well, why? Why would you do that? Well, look, it's entertaining, as was once said and reported. Look, we got ourselves. Have we got a final? A's have beaten the Seattle Mariners 4-2.
They've moved into fourth.
Hey, nowhere to go.
Moved past those same Mariners.
There you go. Speaking of hate. Doesn't that help Grant Cohn's son? Well, no, you're thinking of Lowell Cohn's son, Grant. Yeah, we will be getting into the son of quackers here in just a little bit. And it's a story that has very little professionalism attached to it from any angle. That's for sure, which means it's perfect for me and Ray. It's right in our wheelhouse. Anyway, in our quick little segment, Ray, I don't know if you saw this, but here's proof that you cannot buy class. Like, we got an update for you. Andrew Filipponi, who covers sports in Pittsburgh. You know, there's an awful lot of talk about what's going on with name, image, and likeness. And I saw that Lane Kiffin today even said, look, we're going to turn boosters into owners who are demanding players get played. He's like, you know, a guy who was signing the paycheck of a quarterback that I was coaching one day in Oakland demand that player get played, and I ended up getting fired with an overhead projector. And I think Kiffin's right about that. You are going to have boosters operating on some of these college campuses as ipso facto owners. I mean, let's be honest. Lincoln Riley at USC has got a money man somewhere. How much does that money man tell Lincoln Riley to play who he wants played based on the money he's spending for said player?
Well, it's just an additional way for boosters to have influence far beyond the writing of checks, because that's gone on forever. All this is a more direct link. I don't think this is the thing that causes the college football pyramid to collapse, because it's already been doing that for years. It's making more and more money for fewer and fewer people. And now the few people who have been making money off this have turned on each other. That's what's happened here. And yeah, Lincoln Riley will be the sort of guy who's going to have to listen to that, the way Pete Carroll was 20 years ago. You know, I mean, that's not new. The only thing is, before the 40 power schools could dictate to the other 80 how things went, now the 40 power schools are turning on each other, you know, because that's what's left. They're all fighting for a bigger slice of a bigger pie that fewer people can reach.
But coaches used to be insulated from this under the cause of plausible deniability. You know, you couldn't have a booster talking directly with a coach about how much he's paying for a player. And, hey, I got Reggie Bush's entire family up in a house here. And, you know, that, come on, Pete. Like, at least the coach was insulated from it. Now there is that direct line, like you're saying. And it's going to be nuts. You can feel it getting nuts right now, and we haven't even gotten into it. Proof that there is, you know, a level of nuts out there, and you cannot just buy class no matter how much money you throw around. Jordan Addison, who is the Pittsburgh wide receiver who has left the Steelers to play for the Rams for a new $3 million deal. Oh, no, wait, excuse me. That's left Pitt to play for USC for a $3 million. Is that what it is, $3 million? Is that what you're paying your WR1 now down in down at the Coliseum?
Reportedly $3.5 million. Apparently Colin Cowherd is a 49ers or a USC football beat reporter now.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And he is reporting $3.5 million. Well, you know, hey, if you're paying that extra half, you want it in the report. I mean, that's why you're putting it out there. So, anyway, Jordan Addison getting $3.5 million to go from Pitt to USC. He's the Biletnikoff Award winner. Incredibly talented young man. He's going to have a bright NFL future if he stays healthy. So it came time to take Jordan Addison out of the Pitt football team apartment complex and move him out. It's move-out day, right? Got to move this kid to USC. The family shows up dressed head-to-toe in USC gear. Really? Really? That's how you're going to do it? That's how you're going to walk in to Pitt? To a situation that, by the way, turned your son into a millionaire. And that's the thank you're going to give? You're literally going to put your cigarette out right in the middle of all the coaches' foreheads and players. Ah, we're going to USC now. Don't need you guys anymore. You're small potatoes. Come on, wear anything else than the USC drip on the way to move them out. Head to toe, Trojan logos everywhere. Money will never be able to buy. You can rent it, but you can't buy it.
At what point did you decide that college football had anything to do with dignity? Of course, I mean, that comes as no surprise. I mean, when you went back to the days where guys would, you know, gather everybody else in their high school to have the signing ceremony and do the three hats like it was a three-card Monty game. You know,
that was obnoxious.
This is just the next iteration of that. College football, which has always been sort of on a slow road to hell anyway, has simply just ramped up the engine. They've now got more people shoveling coal into the box than before. So their road to their own destruction is just speeding up some.
Dude, it takes serious stones to bring your trophy wife, your next trophy wife, to your divorce proceedings. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But again, that's going to happen again and again. I mean, that's just the first demonstration of what this is going to be. You know, because college football couldn't see clear to pay these guys, you know, ahead of the demand, now they're paying for it. You know, they held out for as long as they could. And now that they can't hold out anymore, it's basically about my billionaire is bigger than your billionaire. I mean, I'm waiting for Oklahoma State to start buying every player in the Big 12.
Now, if T. Boone Pickens were still with us here on this mortal coil, it would have already happened.
Oh, but they've still got plenty of money. T. Boone was just the first, but there was a line of guys waiting for him to pass so that they can double down. You know, I'm telling you, 40 power schools are going to become 20 in about 5 years. And then everybody else will slowly starve. It's exactly what they've been aiming for all these years. Now they're going to get it.
Here's the thing. I don't know if they were aiming for that, but that is the target that they probably end up hitting. And as a college football fan, I'm going to hate it when that happens. I'm going to hate it. I like there being a difference between college football and professional football. But that difference is going to be harder and harder to see. The line is now blurred to the point where it's nuts. Arch Manning, by the way, apparently is down to what? Texas or Georgia? This is the nephew of the great Mannings, and he is probably going to make between $8 and $10 million a year.
No Ole Miss or Tennessee?
No, Ole Miss, Tennessee.
That's shocking.
No, so it was down to three, apparently, Texas, Georgia, and Alabama. And Alabama just signed that, what, the Holbrook, Eli Holbrook, whatever he
sure.
was. So that's probably the spot that they were saving for Eli. So they probably drop each other off of the radars now, and common sense would say it's down to two.
Don't bet on that. Because that people think it's down to two doesn't mean that somebody isn't going to come through the back door and up everybody else's bid.
Yeah, money, 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 money.
Yeah, no,
wait till Indiana drops $25 million a year on them. Go Hoosiers. We're still going to win four games in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you'll be long and safely dead before that happens.
Look, we have plenty more coming up this afternoon, including one more chance for you to qualify for tickets to Game 5. We're going to do that next. Then we're going to get into what's been happening at 49ers OTA. There's actual player stuff to talk about, and there is about as unprofessional an interaction between a 49er and a Bay Area, quote-unquote, media member when we look at it this way. Editing has been performed. It needed to be to share some of this sound with you, and we're going to have all of that for you coming up next here on 95.7 The Game. Damon and Ratto brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
All right, your last chance today to qualify for tickets to Game 5 tomorrow, a pair of tickets at Chase Center by texting the word TICKETS to 20357. TICKETS to 20357. Good luck. Remember, you can still get playoff tickets at Warriors.com. So, look, we got a lot of stuff to get into here over the course of our final hour plus. And I want to start with what's happening at OTAs for the 49ers, because there are some things happening OTA for the 49ers. Mostly, yesterday, we saw that Kyle Shanahan, you know, was still being asked about Jimmy, and he had to say this.
Nothing's changed since his surgery, where we were at before that, and then he got the surgery, so everything went on hold. I expect him at some time most likely to be traded, but who knows? That's not a guarantee, and it's been exactly on hold when that happened, and when he's healthy, we'll see what happens.
All right, so when he's healthy, we'll see what happens. I think there's an awful lot of intent to make sure that he's traded before week one. I think it's going to happen. I think it's the normal way to go about promoting your younger future. He's going to be the guy, young man quarterback, who we all know is Trey Lance, who did talk to the media. And I got to tell you, you know, you can talk about whether or not he's going to be ready for the game. He keeps answering questions like this. He's certainly going to be ready for that podium, which is something that every single starting quarterback in this league has to be good at negotiating, or hell hath no fury. It's part of the deal. Trey Lance, how many media members do you think were poking around his locker room after North Dakota State football games?
Oh,
two guys, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Well, the radio guy was probably around two, so I'd say three.
A little bit more attention in the NFL. Trey Lance says when it comes to the media, he's really not paying that much attention at all, and he does so in a very respectful way.
In the most respectful way possible. Like, it doesn't change how I feel about you guys as people, but I really don't, like, necessarily. It's not my job to care what you guys say or anyone else on social media. I mean, for me, I care about what the guys in the locker room think and what my coaching staff thinks. And at the end of that, that's my job. You guys, unfortunately, aren't the ones that are making decisions for me or really have any effect on me in the most, again, respectful way possible. But I know everyone's got, you know, strong opinions one way or the other. Like I said, I'm going to go out and try to prove people wrong, prove myself right. But I'm doing it for the guys in the locker room.
So, you know, it feels like he answered that question very, very well. And that's the right way to take what might be players versus media type of topic and just diffuse it and say, this is absolutely nothing personal, but I am here to win over my teammates and my coaches and my locker room, not any particular group of media members or the fans even. I'm here to fight with my guys. It's the right thing to say. You certainly can't argue that he's saying the wrong thing. I mean, that's it. Like, bravo, young man who's yet to really be handed the reins. You seem to be ready to be handed the reins of a press conference. I'll give you that much.
Yeah, which counts for 2% of what they're looking for him to do, because the truth is there's only one answer to give, and he gets credit for giving it, but it's pretty obvious. He has to worry about what Kyle Shanahan thinks above and beyond anybody else, and that's where we were at the beginning of last year. You know, the guy that he needs to impress the most is the guy who's going to make this decision. And for whatever reason, and I'm not going to assume that he couldn't grasp the offense or any of the other 500 theories why he played as little as he did, That's who he has to win over. And so, you know, he's got to pay. He's got to pay homage to the crown, and the crown is Shanahan. So, yeah.
Having said all that, it felt like there was a little bit more to the just actual question in the moment about what is your relationship with media like. It actually sounded like this had been a topic that had been a topic recently in the 49ers locker room. And it turns out, I think it has been. I saw a little something about this last night, and I just dismissed it as, I really don't care what that guy says, and I'm not that interested. And then I wake up this morning and I see that there's more to this story than I thought was out there. Javon Kinlaw against Lowell Cone's kid is like a thing that's actually happening on the internet. Now, I don't want to say that Lucas and Mark Grandy worked harder on this than anything they've ever worked hard on, but to give you an idea of how contentious a interview that was, I guess, a FaceTime interview got between Cone and Javon Kinlaw, well, here's a few snippets of it.
You analyzing people like they not human, fam. Like, oh, this dude this, this dude that, this dude this, this dude that. Fam, I understand that's your job, but like, bro, you got to go about this thing a different type of way, bro.
Now, if that's where it had peaked, we're probably not talking, because I don't think the request is unreasonable, and I don't think it was made in an unreasonable way. You know, how about having a little bit more common courtesy dealing with people than you dealing with, you know, human piles of sports statistics that you want to bury everyone under? Things would get testy.
You don't know me, bro.
I don't.
Stop I don't. Playing with me on this internet, bro.
I don't.
Stop playing well, with me like that, Javon. Stop playing with me, bro. I got kids to raise, bro.
All right,
stop
man.
Stop playing with my name on the internet, bro.
Again, nice job editing here, boys. Not an easy piece to edit for sure. And there would be even more.
Nobody with you. You don't even understand that. Nobody with you, brother. You need to go find a new job. Nobody with you.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? What it mean? Nobody with you. And the only reason I'm getting on here stooping to your level this low is because I feel like it got to be done. Somebody got to do it, and it's going to be me. Somebody got to press you, fam. You like to come on here and try to bully people on the internet. But when I press up on you in person, you shaking like a coward, voice lighter than my baby, fam.
Okay. So there's a lot going on between what is clearly a media member who decided that his approach would be a combative approach and a player who has broken from what we'll call professional norms to say he's unsatisfied with the way he is being treated. But why he showed up to do this actual media back and forth is still hard for me to figure out. Like, you can just say no to people that you don't want to talk to. And Javon Kinlaw should have just said no. Ray, I don't know how much of the video you actually saw or what you watched or consumed. Before we get into scruples of media members and how apples do not fall far from sanctimonious douchebag trees, have you ever chewed on something for 4 minutes? This is about a 4 minute long video. And in this video where Javon Kinlaw is undressing Lowell Cone's kid, he's got a mouthful of food the entire time. He's eating something.
Oh, that's what your question was.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were asking me to chew on.
He's eating something the entire time. Not a single bite was shown. We're not watching him put anything in his mouth, but through the duration of this entire back and forth, he is maintaining a constant state of chewing. He didn't swallow a drop. Whatever was in his mouth, I have no idea what it was. He chewed on it to the point you'd think, well, that's just got to be disintegrated by now. There can't be anything left to chew on. Must have been like a leather boot or something. I have no idea. Was it cud? I don't know. I've never seen somebody chew as much without swallowing as Javon Kinlaw did. Now, Ray, you're probably the wrong guy to ask about this.
I've never put one in my mouth because I'm not curious to find out what they taste like.
But it's really something else. Like, if you only went and watched the video looking for that alone, I think you're going to be amazed. I think you're going to be amazed. What is this man eating? And how is he still eating it? You're in like minute four of him basically saying,
"You don't know me, bro.
I don't.
Stop I don't. Playing with me on this internet, bro.
I don't.
Stop playing with me like that, Javon. Stop playing with me, bro. I got kids to raise, bro.
All right,
stop
man.
Playing with my name on the internet, bro."
He said, "Stop playing with me," no fewer than 25 times. It was amazing that he just continued to chew and chew and chew and chew and chew and chew. Look, so here's my advice. Javon Kinlaw, you cannot get caught taking the bait like that. You are the multimillionaire representing an NFL team in this scenario. You got to be the pro that you're supposed to be. And even though that's, no pun intended, a mouthful, you can't go wrong taking the high road and just not doing the interview or just saying, "I think you're treating us wildly unfairly. And this is not something that I'm going to continue to let you just do because I think you got a personal agenda." And oh, by the way, there is quite a bit of truth to that. Nobody here is cloaked in glory. Nobody here can plant a flag in professionalism that you should admire in any way, shape, or form. So Kinlaw is in the wrong, but I got to tell you, I'm on Team Kinlaw.
My takeaway is I've seen athletes and media people get into it conservatively 60 times. And the thing that bothers me about this on both ends is that this became a show rather than one of those, "Hey, let's go over here and talk this out." Because this didn't appear to want to be something in search of a solution. This was, you know, two guys baiting each other and continually baiting each other. You know, I did see the video, you know, under duress. I mean, Lucas had, had a baseball bat that he was going to use on me if I didn't watch it. And the only thing I could think was, go somewhere and hash this out like adults do. But both of them essentially wanted instead to, it seems to me at least, get attention for arguing, which A, doesn't solve any problem, and B, makes everybody look silly. I mean, I've seen that there are a number of 49ers who have come out and publicly defended Kinlaw, but you would expect that. But if you have an issue with a media person, the smartest thing is always to say, "Hey, let's come over here and have a chat." And if you're a media person, you go there with the intention of hearing said player out and try to work toward some sort of accommodation. Even if the only accommodation you come up to is never talk to me again. That did not seem to be anybody's intention here. In which case, what'd you solve? Nothing.
So on the Xfinity mobile text line, it says, so Cohn doesn't have to be a pro, but Kinlaw does? No, you misinterpreted what I'm saying. Javon Kinlaw is a professional. Grant Cohn is not. And we'll explain that after we welcome you to your 5 o'clock hour, just 2 minutes late.